This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in that games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services of choice and 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time on the YouTubes.
If you want to join that PlayStation conversation, head over to facebook.com/group/thepopculturist. Twitter, Discord, links are in the down below area. But if you want to join that conversation as it happens, head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist, where you can support us at any dollar value. Get yourself a nice little sneaky link where you can watch us record this show live. If you want to support us in a more once-off fashion, head over to popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. And we are also on a Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist. Now, I'm going to have to change this jingle now, Max. Mostly because this week, PlayStation celebrated their 25th anniversary of being PlayStation. And like we say, you know, over 40, I think we're almost hitting 50 at this point. We have to be. Like, although I wasn't a day one adopter initially because I was like fucking six. But
well, I must admit, I didn't get my first play. I got my first PlayStation when I believe I got the PS1 when the PS2 came out. Is how I rolled.
Yeah, I think mine was on like my eighth or ninth birthday or something, around about there. Josh had one pretty early on, if I remember right. And yeah, so I think Josh and I combined just hit over 40 about a year ago.
Mm.
But I think we might have to redo that math because I think we might be hitting the 50s. But how are you, sir?
Yeah, not too bad.
Back again for more For The Players.
That's always good fun.
Good times, man.
It is good times.
Well, it's the second last one of the year for those of you playing at home. We will be, next week will be our Game of the Year as well as Game of the Generation discussions. Okay. Then we'll have a couple weeks off and then we'll come back for the new year. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, because we've never done Game of the Generation. This is the first time we've been in a generational change.
True.
Because this time next year, we will have PS5. Now, presumably, the reason we're doing it now is only because there will be some games that release next year and they may be in consideration for Game of the Generation. And we'll get to it when we get there. But because the end of the year is normally our wrap period, we look at what everything that's happened. And by the time next year comes around, wrap period is new period.
Yeah.
Because there'll be PS5 in our hands. So we've kind of just thrown a little bit loosey-goosey.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad. What have you been up to? How's things?
Well, yeah, things have been pretty good. Pretty chill week.
Mm-hmm.
Second last week of work, so I'm kind of just going through the motions. Yep. Obviously, here Thursday night to stream Autica.
We did. Let's talk about Autica, man.
Autica was rad.
Big thank you to the team over at Harmonix, especially Nick, the PR guy who I reached out to on Twitter. Yeah, he provided us the code to play Autica. That's a whole story in itself, which is brilliant. Yeah, so big thank you to them. Autica, in its simplest explanation, it's a VR rhythm shooter.
Yeah.
So it's...
sums it up nicely.
Similar to Rock Band and Beat Saber, especially in the VR space. It's music, notes, you hit the notes to trigger a combo, et cetera, et cetera. But in this case, rather than using a guitar peripheral, also would have been cool, or a lightsaber, as in Beat Saber, you are using... pistols.
Yeah. It's interesting how they... Because obviously you've only got two guns for one in each hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how they ramp that difficulty because obviously, you know, with the plastic peripherals, you go from three colors to four colors to five colors.
To chords and...
Yeah. But here they... You know, there's your left gun, your right gun, and you've got balls incoming that you kind of got to hit with the guns, and then you've got sideways shoot, vertical shoot, holding, and
yeah, it's the layers so, that they put on it were really impressive. So it starts off as standard like disc shooting, right? So yeah, almost like skeet shooting, right? Yeah. It's like pew pew, and it's to the beat, which is always fun. And then they're like, well, they want to throw disco balls at you, as you mentioned. So the disco balls come at you on a curve, and you got to like slice them, and then out of nowhere, they're like, surprise, there's now circles with points, and that point is the way the gun has to face, so you can go from, you know, normal to street, you know, and it's
normal to street
at any one time, and that's all part of it. And pardon me, I myself was pretty much content with average, right? You know, beginner, average, that's where I lived, and it was nice and fine.
Yeah.
You, on the other hand, Max, within like an hour and a half, you're like, let's pump this expert shit.
I mean, go hard or go home, really.
That's it.
It was intense, though. I think I finished one song on expert. Yeah. It was the very first song in the game. So quite easy.
Yeah, saying that, though, for comparison, I played that one on beginner and got 100% full combo first time. So I think that first song is intentionally easy to get that, yeah, get you over that hurdle. But yeah, so probably a simpler version of that. Now, this does have comes with a lot of standard songs. They all look to be from people, and you know, so as in like artists, as well as some well-known artists, like Sia is on there, mm-hmm, with David Guetta. That Titanium song is in the base game. There's a couple other, if you're probably more into that EDM sort of area. But they did also release a season pass, as well as two DLC packs, with a third one coming this month, all with more well-known commercial songs. So the ones that made me go, oh, I need to buy that season pass. So there was like Billie Eilish is on there with Bad Guy, Into You by Ariana Grande. You got really stoked on like LMFAO. Oh,
yeah, that was great.
Fall Out Boy with Centuries, High Hopes by Panic at the Disco.
It had some really good tunes.
Yeah, I imagine really Dragons on there as well. Like there's a quite a good, so it's like five songs approximately per DLC pack. So we all have 15 by the end of the month, which is very cool. Because as I mentioned, the code was given to us very kindly. It was a US code, and lucky I have a US account, so I just jumped on the US account, went bing, put that in there. This shouldn't be a problem. I was like, this is really good. I'm gonna buy the season pass. I'm like, well, look, they were kind enough to get to pay to give me the game.
Yeah,
I will buy the season pass. Bought it on the Australian store because I don't have any money on the Australian, on the US one. The US one is solely for US codes, so there's no money. And then it's like, you need to buy the game to use this season pass. I'm like, mate, it's right there.
Yeah.
And the game couldn't register. Like, I was under the impression it's region free, but I guess maybe DLC or digital versions aren't region free, which is frustrating.
I'm not sure how that works, because, yeah.
Because a disc, if I had a US disc, I presume it would be just fine.
Maybe. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I think it's because I had to use my US account and then my account, and the purchase is technically on the US account, not here, even though it's on the console. Maybe there's probably some gray area there. My fault. Either way, I bought the game. Like, I was like, well, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'll buy it. Too late, done.
Yeah, I ended up getting it.
Yeah, oh, you picked up two?
Yeah.
Same day?
Yeah, I got it last night. DLC included.
Do you want the pack?
Yeah, the $67 pack, yeah, for the game.
So it's about $45 bucks for base game, $67 for the combo.
Or, like, it works out to be 80-ish.
Mm.
Almost 90 if you buy them separately. So, you know, you may as well just...
Well, there you go. Give us more thoughts. So how do you find it? Because I know you're a big Beat Saber fan. And look, they are different, but it is the closest simile, so it's worth comparing.
Beat Saber is
right out through the window.
Beat Saber is definitely a lot more physically intensive. With the obviously, Beat Saber has the walls that you've got to duck and weave through, so you get a lot more of a workout with Beat Saber. If you were watching the stream on Thursday night, we played Autocar.
It's still available on Twitch.
Yeah, we played it seated, so it's a much more comfortable experience if you're into
not,
that.
These chairs suck, bumhole, so not in the studio space, yeah. I need new chairs. Hey, if anyone has purple chairs and they're willing to like put them in this semi-dope-looking studio, which doesn't have the lights on. Oh, no. Is there a dock in there?
It's plugged in.
Then turn her on.
No, it's not.
No!
Oh
no. Oh no.
I'm off my phone now. Yeah, we were playing a seated, so it's a lot more casual experience in that way, a lot less physically intensive. You've also got the added bonus in Autica of the licensed music, so it's a little bit more, you know, radio-esque.
Mm-hmm.
There's not so much of the obviously Beat Saber is your hardcore EDM stuff, a lot of small indie artists, from my knowledge.
Well, for Beat Saber, very much. So I do apologize. As you said, we do live stream this for our Patreon people. It looks like the link isn't working correctly. So you just keep chatting while I pass this on.
So yeah, from my time with both games, I'm personally leaning more towards Autica over Beat Saber.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because I like playing games when I play games and not so much doing a workout. Not that Beat Saber isn't fun. It is a fantastic game. But yeah, the shooting mechanics are quite nice. But yeah, I think the music is what sold it for me. Like having that that slightly more mainstream music, you can kind of get into it a bit more. You can kind of see where it's going to go because you know the beat of the song, you know.
Mm.
So yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, because the big thing that comes with these rhythm games or these music games, it's the music.
Yeah.
That is what sells it. That is what brings it forward. So when it comes to the music that's on there, you need to know what it is to feel it. Like that's what made Rock Band and Guitar Hero so good, especially in their heyday, because it was like, you look at that track list and you're like, I love all of these songs.
And then you get to the point, like, I know my Rock Band library is close to like 600, 700.
Mine's 700 and something.
Yeah.
So yeah, so as it stands right now, because I've got, because I'm playing it on PS4, and then all my back catalog is on PS4, which is brilliant. So I have all that. There are only songs that I don't have, and it breaks my heart, because they were my number one band of the year again on Spotify, was Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, really?
So they have some songs on Fleetwood Mac's Rumours, and they are available now on PS4. But because I didn't buy them on PS3, because I didn't discover the amazing Fleetwood Mac until 2 years ago, I can't buy them.
Mm.
And they sit there and they're like, unavailable. And it breaks my soul. And I need them in my life. But like, although Beat Saber is there now with like the Panic at the Disco pack, which is cool, but also the songs on there are the Panic at the Disco songs you probably kind of want.
Mm.
You want, the first album and then a couple from the later ons, but you're getting a lot of the newer stuff. Like, doesn't have Sins Not Tragedies or anything like that. And then like Imagine Dragons on there, but even then Imagine Dragons is kind of pretty hated these days. Like, they're not as well loved as they probably should be. So it's this weird kind of like space, I guess.
Yeah.
But for that, like, when they have these mainstream songs on here, as I said, the second I saw that list, I'm like, I want in. I want that one, and I want that one, and I want that one. So for me, it was really easy to be like, I'm buying that season pass, because there are songs here that I want.
Yeah.
Period. And like, if they continue to support it in the same way that they did with Rock Band, like, maybe each week or once a month, they drop a handful of tracks, and you can buy them individually, like $2.95, brilliant.
Yeah, it's a nice price point for a single song, if that's what you're looking for. Mm. Obviously, it's still cheaper to buy the packs. It's always better to buy in bulk.
Yeah. Like, I really honestly don't dust off my PSVR enough. So to do that and have the incentive of, ooh, there's new tracks, that's probably enough to keep, for at least me to keep it set up in the lounge.
Yeah.
Where, like, Rock Band is always set up in my lounge. I have the drum kit in the corner, the guitar's there. I was pretend guitaring with my son this morning. So it's super easy for me to turn it on, put the disc in, and it's good to go. So there's that.
Yeah.
So I guess although the additional work required to make VR happen is a bit more of a hassle, but I'm willing to put the hassle in if it's songs I can dig.
Mm.
But one thing we did discuss quickly was like the difficulty curve. Like, beginner is so beginner, and then it kind of punches you pretty hard for advanced.
Yeah. It's interesting because yeah, so in some of the songs in Beginner, obviously we were just getting the, you shoot left, you shoot right, you shoot left. There was very little.
Occasionally two together.
Occasionally you'd get you'd get shoot both together. And then, we both moved to Standard, and Standard it was a big difference because obviously, especially with rhythm games, just because the difficulty's easier, you also mess yourself up because you're like, oh, I know where that next beat's coming, and you go to do it, and then that beat doesn't exist in the song.
That's a big problem that I have with Rock Band. Mm. Is because I am a drummer, so I have to play on expert. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm hitting cymbals, I'm hitting snare hits or kick drum that don't exist, and it throws me instantly. So we're here because I'm not a shooter. It's not a bigger problem, but yes, I was, because you're starting to, because what you can't help it, your body starts getting into it, and you're start like,
well, you bam, know, you noticed what I was bam, doing, where I was bam. Tapping my feet along to it as I was, yeah. as I was shooting, and then you're like, oh, that's actually not.
Yeah, so once you start getting like, because your body gets into it, and you're like, bam, bam, I'm the bad guy, bam, 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 and like, so you're starting to get into the beat, and then the problem is, if there isn't a note for that beat, you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay, and then you're back into it again.
The user interface setup is quite nice. You know, you can look down, you can see your score, you can see your fail meter. The guns themselves have your score multiplier written on the back of them,
which is rad.
So you can see them at all times. Once we did the advanced tutorial and we learned that we could throw our guns and do like spin tricks, and
I spent more time just throwing it, catching it, spinning it, throwing it again.
That was kind of cool.
Don't GIF that, by the way.
Apparently it serves no purpose. There are no, yeah. from what we were told,
there's some trophies out of it.
We've got some trophies out of it, but there's no like bonus style points or anything like that. It's kind of just for show off.
Yeah.
The one thing I brought up was we noticed through the campaign there are some bonus things that you can do. Like
modifiers,
Modifiers is the word I'm looking for. That didn't seem to exist in the single player, like quick play.
Yeah, so when you go through the solo play, it didn't have the ability to, you know, do 120 times speed or 200 times speed or mirror or... I think mirror is there because I know that's a trophy. But I mean, like, you know, invisible guns or invisible hands. Or
yeah, there was invisible guns.
No assistance.
Yeah, no assistance on the... Yeah, you wouldn't see where they were coming. Their targets were coming in. That was quite difficult.
Yeah, so like... Although that existed in the campaign, but not in the quick play, single player, solo play, we did get hear word in the chat. We did have a couple of people jump in to chat to us about it, and they said that it is on, has been announced, that is being worked on as we speak. So that will come in time, probably in a near patch, I guess.
Because that'll be rad.
Yeah, if you can start adding additional challenges to yourself, because once you, if for any reason you are a beast and you happen to be on expert already and dominating, like, what more can I add?
I also don't need an option to move my arms X amount of meters throughout the song. Like,
I'm way too unfit for that shit.
I don't need that.
Yeah, keep that one in campaign. That's fine. Just like move your arms 500 meters. Like, okay, finish the song. You're at 250. Like, what? And like, I wasn't just sitting there. Like, I was getting some going. I didn't get hard, but I was going. I think that's where you got to be standing up. I think that was where you want to get like
some bit of freestyle going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But like I do hope it's supported long term though, because I said even like Rock Band, which kind of, you know, had its resurgence with Rock Band 4, you know, in 2016, they are still delivering DLC to date, which I love, because every couple of, you know, I don't buy it every week or every, you know, couple of weeks. I'll jump in like once a month and be like, ooh, and then I pick up like 4 or 5 songs. Like anything that sort of drops out of me over the month, I go bing, bing, bing. And I hope I can do the same thing here. So, you know, in like a year from now, I can be like, look at this catalog. Oh, I get a like, you know, catalog damp.
Yeah. What about you? What else have you been playing this week apart from Nautica?
Oh, so before, because this is kind of, before we just wrap up our thoughts on Nautica, I think it's awesome. I think it's brilliant. Oh, yeah. I think there is like a cool learning curve there. It's an excellent use of VR. Because one thing that we've discussed about before, and I'm not sure that you said it before, is VR works at its when it's simple.
Yeah, the more simplistic the game, the easier, like the more benefit like they'll get out of it.
Exactly. And this is simple as shit. It's just shoot stuff.
Yeah.
Shoot stuff to a beat. Like, that's kind of perfect.
Yeah.
So, although, you know, I don't have any playing, I don't really have any minor issues with it, because I feel that any sort of quote unquote deficiencies with the game are probably at me because of, you know, especially in terms of gameplay. Like, I felt, you know, the shot, like, I think, because I'm using the PS3 Move controllers, I think they're a little bit shit-ass. I think they're a little bit dying in the butt.
Yeah, you were mentioning that you were having a hard time getting the trigger.
Yeah, I felt the trigger felt off, and it didn't feel like as responsive as I wanted it to. It's like, I have a feeling that is the controller, not the game. You know, the background is bland-ish, but it's cool but bland, but then you unlock more through the campaign, so... Because it is, in its premise, is simple,
but it
works.
I mean, it's good that the backgrounds aren't too busy, because you've got so many particle effects every time you shoot one of the discs anyway. If the backgrounds were any more kind of out there, you know, it might take away from might make things harder. Because we only saw two of the backgrounds, but they're both very, like, they're quite dark, so you can see the differential of colors and... and whatnot that you're shooting.
Yeah, and one thing we did notice, there was text at one point, so the trophy list was visible in the game. That text was too tiny. On PSVR, with its, you know, low res screen, because it, you know, with that low resolution, things tend to pixelate a little bit faster, a bit quicker. So it was near impossible to read.
Yeah.
Just because of the distance and the size of the font, it was just a bit of a hot mess. It's probably the only minor thing. Like, come on. As long as they can continue to deliver awesome songs, awesome popular songs, because it said, even though every song, and like, I don't really know Post Malone that much, right? Yeah. As an example. But people, like, he's a big dude. So everyone in these two DLC packs are of note.
Yeah.
There is no random, who the hell is that? Every single one is, I'm aware of that person. I know that person. I love that song. So if they can keep that going, moving into whatever, however they keep supporting this game, it's a big win. Yeah, I really, definitely. Really enjoyed it. So yeah, go check out Audica. It's available on the PSVR. It is available on PCs for those that have PC Oculuses and the Rifts. Same thing. Nope, HTC Vive. There you go. The Vive and the Oculus. You can go and try them out here, but we played it on the PSVR because we are a PlayStation show. But yes, what have I been playing outside?
Yeah, what else have you been playing outside?
My child's
at
the outside window. He's probably
outside of Orca.
Yell and make a scoot. So I've been playing a game called Tools Up.
Yeah.
So big thank you to the guys over at Evolve PR. I went out and was going through their little key thingy, and I saw it. I was like, oh, yeah. Because what caught my interest about this game is it kind of has this Overcooked feel. Yeah. It's four-player couch co-op, you know, closed arenas, collecting, doing things to a time. So what they've got here is you are renovators. You are four reno dudes and dudettes, and you have to reno this house in a specific amount of time. So you get given blueprints of what needs to be done, paint these walls, pull up these tiles, or whatever, right?
Yep.
So it starts off very simple. It's, paint the wall or rip up the tiles, do it. Very straight and simple, not too bad. So I've done about 10 levels at this point. So 10 different things, three or four levels in this building tower. And that was pretty straightforward up until this point. I was like, cool, 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 easy done. Where I'm at now, it's kind of hit this minor spike. I wouldn't say minor spike. It's just this issue of, I need that second person.
Yeah.
So, because one of the things is you can't just finish all the renos and call it a day. You have to then clear out all your shit from inside that unit / apartment and bring it outside. That's how you end it. So you could just go, paint everything, done. Spill this stuff, leave mess everywhere, because that's part of it. You know, there are, you know, you can spill the paint over, creating tripping hazards, which then you have to clean up and then dispose of all the cleaner. There's all these little additional layers to just renovating, which is awesome. So the level that I'm on right now, it's pretty simple. It's just pull up those tiles, lay down carpet, paint those walls that color. I'm like, sick. But you walk in there and there is an abundance of shit. There is like four different colors that are unrelated. There is two packets of wallpaper. And the level tells you that, you know, like, hey, this is how you use wallpaper. But then you look at the blueprint, it's like, we don't use wallpaper. So it's adding these extra things to jack with you. So yeah. I can get the stuff done in a equal amount of time. However, sorry, a required amount of time. And then it's like, all right, now I've got to remove everything. And because it's just one person, you only carry one thing. It's like, and like, that is what's killing me. I'm running out of time to move all the stuff. So like, if you're playing two player, one person's doing the stuff, other person's yanking stuff out.
Yeah.
Last minute, da 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 da, and you're out. Now, because this game is a multiplayer game, so please don't take what I just said as a negative or a critique, because I am playing single player here.
Yeah.
And it's simple as that. So if it's designed for multiplayer, and then it should be played as such. Saying that, for those who don't know, I work within the mental health youth workspace. We use games as therapy. So we use games like Overcooked and Death Squared and those four-player co-op local games as a way to help build communication and socialization skills. So I am taking this to work. On Monday, I am taking Tools Up to work. I'm going to be like, play this. Because it's kind of perfect.
Like, yeah.
Because Overcooked is brilliant in that it's fast and it's intense and it's cool. But if someone gets frazzled, which, you know, with our guys working, you know, with mental health and ASD, they can get frazzled and overwhelmed pretty quickly. But we're here, the tasks are incredibly simple.
Yeah.
You can work together, but you can kind of go solo a little bit, but there is still that collective goal.
Yeah, because, like, for instance, with the level you were just talking about, you can designate tasks. So it's like, you rip up the carpet, you rip up the tiles, I'll lay the carpet, you paint the walls, and the last guy can move all the rubbish out as we're all doing it.
Because that's the other thing we try to do is, you know, that's what made Death Squared so good for us, is we sign a leader for the level.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool. Joanne, you are the leader. Tell everyone what their roles are. And she'll be like, okay, you do this, I'll do that, out of that, cool. And then everyone works the system. And that's cool. They get around the leadership and it's cool communication. But, like, for me, you know, is that I've got the code here now. I'm buying a copy for work, like, period. Yeah. Like, it fits exactly what we want to do. It's not stressful. Like, Death Squared is fun. It's not stressful. Overcooked is fun, but it's also a little bit stressful. And we do that because we want to build their frustration tolerance as well. Because, you know, especially with, like, ASD, very easy frustrated. So we kind of try to change that a little bit. But yeah, the character designs are very adorable. Also very familiar. And I don't know where I've seen them before, but I look at them, I'm like, I've seen you somewhere. And I don't know. And whether that's an incredible marketing, because we have seen it across the PlayStation blog and stuff like that in recent weeks. Maybe it's just that sort of recency bias. I'm like, you look really comfortable and safe because I've seen you recently, you know? and that's what it could be. But
yeah.
Yeah, the game is simple enough to pick it up and play it, but it's also that challenging. Like, I am intentionally trying to get 3 stars on everything. So I could have been done. Like, if I didn't want to get 3 stars, this level wouldn't be the minor hurdle that it is.
Yeah.
But once again, get that second person, boom, it's no longer a minor hurdle anymore. And then I can just keep pushing on through.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm really, really enjoying the game. I've put, like, I don't know, a good handful of hours into it. I played it last night. I got up early this morning. I played it for a couple of hours before my kid got up. Yeah, like, and it's funny because I went to bed and then I woke up and I was still thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because it was just that idea of just looking at the puzzle, being like, all right, how am I going to tackle this puzzle? How can I do this? And then when you came over, I'm like, all right, Max, I need your brain. How can I tackle this puzzle? And you're like, try this, mate. Yeah, try that. Try this. Yeah, I'll try that too.
Yeah, the answer is probably definitely get a second player.
Oh, my kid's punching things through the window. Do you have any questions or any thoughts from what you've saw?
No, it looks rad. Like you said, the app description of it's very similar to Overcooked. It definitely looks rad multiplayer. And yeah, it's less likely to force someone to wreck someone else's day for messing up. Because, you know, Overcooked is just hectic as.
Well, because, yeah, like, I played Overcooked.
I played it with my wife once, and I'll never play it again.
Yeah, we streamed it here once, and it was just me yelling at my friend Dylan for the longest time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is very similar in premise-ish to a game that's coming up from the same guys that made Death Square called SMG Studios, and their game called Moving Out, which they're all about removalists.
Yeah.
So they're going, hey, you got to pick up 20 items, go in there, brick them, chuck them in the truck. So it's the same idea. 4 players come in, rip, throw it, and a thing. Where I like where that's ripping something apart, this is putting something together.
Yeah.
It's just, it seems cooler because there's less likely for people to be willing to peg stuff. You know what I mean? There is a slight care because you're creating rather than destroying.
Yeah.
But Overcooked has the same thing, but you just peg food all the time in that game. Like, no questions. But yeah, I've been playing that. What else have you been playing?
Obviously, Death Stranding, trying to get that finished before our game of the year discussions. So I think last time I spoke about it, I was still in chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now in chapter 12.
You're so close.
That took me probably a good 10 hours to get from 3 to 12. Granted, I have been mainlining it. I haven't been building anything. I've literally been strapping everything to my back and just running across mountains.
Get that all-terrain legs. Like,
yeah, put those all-terrain legs on and just sprint up the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
I'll take some ropes with me to get down the other side. That's about it. Some of the boss fights had been frustrating me to the point where I almost dropped my difficulty.
Crazy.
Because, you know, at the start of the game, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to play it on hard. I don't think this game is very combat heavy. We should be sweet. How hard can terraining the, you know, walking across the terrain be? Turns out it's not difficult. It's when you have to fight people that it gets difficult.
Yeah, and like, and I think I made the exact same point last week. Yeah, like expecting to be no combat, because you do that for like 20 hours. It's
definitely getting a lot. Exposition heavy. It's telling me that story very quickly now. I'm unraveling a lot. The story's crazy, but it's so good.
You have any cool like revelations and stuff?
Because
there are some info that comes that makes you go, oh my god.
Yeah, I've teared up twice so far. The twins broke me. That
Mama and Lockney.
Yep, that broke me, and Cliff broke me a bit too.
You will cry again. Because I cried twice. Twins, like, so the Mama's story, and then one of the final shots just broke me.
Hartman's story was a bit.
Harmon was cool. Die Harmon's performance, it moved me to tears, but by God, it fucking moved me. I talked about him last week about how brilliant that scene was. It's just an absolute, one of the most human things I've ever seen in a game. And then the big final, can't talk to you about it because
I'm so keen. I'm hoping to finish it tonight when I get home.
Yeah,
it's the plan. I think I've got like two chapters left, so I think I can do it.
Yeah, you can kind of rip through them. But remember that, like, so there is like an hour and a half of just cutscenes at the end.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm good for that. I'll cook some popcorn.
Like, people complain about that. I thought it was amazing. It wrapped everything up so radically. It was fine. But anyway, that's enough of what we've been playing this week, Max. Let's get into what's happened this week in a section we call Inform the Players, where we tell you what happened this week in the PlayStations. A lot of stuff this week, so we'll kind of tear through it as quick as we can, and then we got big old chats at the back end. Adding further speculation to the Dreams release date, Dreams Early Access period is coming to an end. They've mentioned that it will be no longer be available for purchase on the PlayStation Store as of Saturday, the 7th of December at 3:59 p.m. So PST. That's in the US, so you do
tomorrow,
have
Arvo.
Tomorrow Arvo. If you haven't. For some reason, you are still interested in picking up the game, and you haven't yet. Now is your time. What the fudge is? There we go.
It's going to be vastly cheaper now than it will be.
Yeah. So the idea, if you buy it in early access, you're going to save like $30. Is kind of what they were hinting at.
Yeah.
Which is cool. If anything, yeah, this does add extra speculation to the February 14 release date. But if you have purchased the game already, you can still play it. I put that in there just purely because it was adding additional info to what we've reported in La Paz. This one's just called Feel the Power of the PS5. The PlayStation 5 rumors just keep on rumbling. This time around, reliable Kotaku news editor Jason Schreier has taken into Twitter in order to share some of his insight into the next generation of consoles. It's just a few bullet points, but there are sure to speak speculation. Now, as always, we do pull all our articles from Push Square because they're rad and they know how to talk PlayStation. First off, Schreier says Microsoft is currently, quote, well behind, end quote, Sony in terms of communication regarding the new Xbox. But with almost a whole year to go before these consoles hit the market, that quote, probably won't matter, end quote. Still, it's interesting to hear that Sony is supposedly so far ahead of the competition, much like it did with the PS4. It sounds like the Japanese giant is really on top of things, which is encouraging. Next, quote, whispers suggest that, surprise, surprise, the PS5 and Xbox Scarlet will have, quote, similar specs. We've always imagined that the next generation will be a bit of a repeat in terms of hardware head-to-heads, as it always is, as with both Sony and Microsoft producing machines that are pretty much on the same level. Rumors that they'll offer the same kind of power is no major shocker, with Schreier going on to say that, quote, both consoles sound very powerful. And last but not least, Sony's strategy with the PS5 includes pushing accessibility, which is rad, at least in part. So no load times, no waiting around, you can just get into the game as quickly as possible. The last point ties into what we already know about the console, with its custom SSD supposedly allowing for the greatly decreased load times and the apparent ability to download and install different parts of the game so that you can prioritize what you want to play. Obviously, of course, this is all just talk. However, Jason Schreier is an incredibly reliable source. This is no surprise here. What, you know, it would make sense when both come out at the same point, right? Now, we mentioned last week that Xbox and Phil Spencer specifically said that they're waiting, they're holding off until they announce what the Scarlet can do.
Did you see he tweeted that he's taken his home and he's playing on it now?
Well, obviously it's not so not so locked down though, isn't it? Yeah, because the idea, I believe the idea is for them to kind of hold the cards to the chest.
Yeah.
So that way no one can be like, well, no one's powerful, that's slightly better DDR, whatever the fucking, you know, all that sort of stuff, which is valid. But like, if they know theirs is powerful or they're equal, why hide it?
Well, I mean, saying that your console's equal to something else is like, well, then why don't we just buy the thing that it's equal to? What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, you know, so far they've been quite similar, except for the One X was a gigantic leap over the...
But it did... So the PS4 and the PS4 and the Xbox One were different. The PS4 was superior.
Yep.
Where then the PS Pro came out and the Xbox One X came out a year later, giving it a substantial time to be an incredibly more powerful console.
Yeah, because they released their S around the same time as the Pro from memory.
Yeah.
So seeing that they're very similar in power probably isn't that... You know, like you said before, isn't that surprising?
My issue, I think I brought this up last week as well, was I think they're not saying anything because the difference between the One X and the Scarlet won't be all that much.
That it'll be interesting to see if that works to their advantage. That especially for their devs, there's not going to be too much of a difference in designing something for.
Well, the architecture base will be pretty similar, but it's just more of like if you're an Xbox One X owner, right? And Xbox have mentioned multiple times about generations being done.
Yeah.
What's the incentive to buy the Scarlet?
Yeah.
See, as a PS4 owner, even a pro owner, if a PS5, if they're like, look, it's this much, it's 3 times more powerful than this, 4 times more powerful than this. I'm like, well, what the fucking console?
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's an instant interest in me wanting to make that jump.
Yeah.
But if you look at those numbers, because granted, Xbox could do the whole, it's this times more powerful than the Xbox One. Like which model?
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to say when it'll be interesting to see when they actually do release all their information, because they are playing it very close.
Yeah, and which is cool, and that adds mystery. And PlayStation have been silent for the longest time. So, okay,
who do you reckon will release first this time around?
PS4.
You reckon?
Judging by their behavior here, and their openness, they'll like first? Here's the date. And then Xbox will be like, well, we're going to, you know, because the fact that they're being so close, which means they are playing the more conservative game here.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And they want to be the one reacting rather than the one acting here. So, like, when last console launch with, you know, the trading of the games thing, that was done, you know, a day before because they could react to what Xbox did.
Yeah.
I think Xbox want that upper hand. Because it is. It is whoever has the last laugh.
Especially
that initial launch window.
Yeah.
But But potentially Xbox could take advantage of PlayStation. Go this. We are the 20th of October. They're like, well, we're the 15th of October. People only have $600. They're only going to buy one. And how hard is it to not bite temptation?
I don't know. To be honest, like I said, if they're so close in power together, I think the people that have PlayStations are just going to buy PlayStations regardless of what comes out first.
Yeah, and that's very similar to what happened to the Xbox and the Xbox One and the PS4, but people start eventually coming over to the 4.
My only concern is, because they're touting all these, you know, there's going to be little to no load times. It's all good and well to put this crazy SSD in your console, but if you're putting 500 gig SSDs in the consoles and your games are 100 gig plus each, that's not good. That's not good.
No.
So, you know, they've got to space it out. I mean, obviously,
and even then, it's not fully 500 gig. It's like 400, 300.
Yeah, because obviously, it's got to hold the OS. And
this is why I'm like, if anything, I'm expecting they may have something like that M.2 and then a additional SSD.
Well, with the rumors of the hot swappable.
Hey, buddy, can you please go to mummy?
With the rumors of the hot swappable SSDs, it'll be interesting to see their size.
Well, yeah,
I think that's the one thing. That's one of the things that that's one of the things that they also haven't announced is what the size on these hard drives are going to be.
Yeah, like that's, and whether they do these in the interswappable thingamathingers, who knows? Hey, James, can you get a mum? Sorry, things are falling down and he's getting everywhere. Buddy. Thank you, buddy. He's a good kid. Thank you. Yeah, so we don't know a lot about those, you know, those alleged interchangeable, whether it's even a thing. Like, because the first thing I did when I got my PS4 was I bought the console, went to PC Case Gear, ordered a 3 terabyte thing, done. Mm. Like, instantly. And it's a thing, like, is if they're touting this to be this very specific SSD, I can't do that.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Speaking of interesting, during Jeff Keighley's Reddit AMA concerning the Game Awards coming up, holy crap, next week, he stated that the all but confirmed Resident Evil 3 Nemesis remake for the PS4 as well as Xbox One, presumably, will not be appearing at the show. Quote, there are no plans, and there never were, to do anything with Resident Evil at the show. However, there has been some stuff here about a state of play, because I wrote this news before they confirmed a state of play, so half this is done. So it looks pretty confident we're going to see Resident Evil 3 at state of play when we discuss it in like fucking 20 minutes. Not even. On top of that, Project Resistance, that was the asymmetrical multiplayer game set within the Resident Evil universe. There is speculation that it could be, releasing alongside Resident Evil 3. So, because as you mentioned, there was cover art for Resi 3 that did appear on the store. Whatever, right? What have we got here? So, although the imagery of the covers for Resident Evil 3 remake data mined off the store, alongside it, Project Resistance. Like, yeah. not like near each other, like on each other.
Yeah, it's been, I've seen a lot of speculation online that Project Resistance is actually just a game mode inside Resi 3 Remake.
Mm, that'd be cool too. That would be cool, actually. Yeah, so that, I guess the real question is it kind of like The Last of Us Online? Is it this connected multiplayer to a main game?
Mm. Could work.
I'm down. I think it'd be very tough to sell that game on its own merit.
Because, I mean, can't you play as Nemesis in Project Resistance? Isn't there?
It's that and Mr. X, I think.
Oh, yeah, Mr. X, yeah.
Well, I guess if they bring it in, they could swap out the model.
Flick it across, yeah.
Done.
So it'll be, yeah.
Yeah, that was just adding more after talked about last week. Still hard for Resident Evil 3. Like, I'm hard now, it's hard then. You know what I mean? The hardness has not altered. Next up, handhelds. While the Nintendo Switch is enjoying enormous success, primarily due to its handheld functionality, boss Jim Ryan over at PlayStation told Game Informer that, quote, clearly it's a business that we are no longer in now. The executive did have praise for the PS Vita, describing it as a, quote, brilliant in many ways, but it's a product the platform holder couldn't find traction with. It's a shame because its initial promise to play console experiences on the go is not massively different to the Switch's main selling point. Unfortunately, the PlayStation maker just couldn't get the concept to stick. It's up there. Vita means life, not death. The manufacturer currently commands 4 of the 5 best-selling home consoles of all time, though, so it clearly knows where the strengths lie. Having said that, the PSP was a humongous success, reviving the Nintendo DS for some time and going on to sell about 100 million units outright. Where does this sit for you? Like, were you a handheld Sony guy?
I did have a Vita for a couple months. I used it to play Persona. Mm-hmm. And then I got rid of it. I'm not really a big handheld guy. I play my Switch permanently docked. I very rarely take it out to play in handheld mm-hmm. mode. It's just not my thing. I mean, I have to wear glasses at the best of times, and things on small screens is just not that great.
I think I love the idea of handheld gaming more than handheld gaming.
Yeah, I love the idea of being able to, like, hey, I can play this game on the go, and then I won't.
But my go, like, is it back in the day when I was training to university or stuff like that? Yeah, of course. But now I drive to work, I play games at work, you know, and then I come home, I sit on the couch, I play games on the couch. Like, I play the PlayStation on the telly, you know, and then in bed, I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't have, like, back in the day, I guess I was more like, I'll play in bed, I'll play on the train, play on the bus. I don't do that anymore. So, like, the handheld stuff isn't super amazing for me. Like, remote play, that's really cool. I don't use the Vita for it. I use my laptop.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I am out of the house, I want to play PlayStation, I use my laptop. You know, so even its potential selling point for the Vita, as an example, isn't there for me right now. So am I bummed that they're out of it? Well, yes, because I think no one else is competing. So why not?
I don't think... It's hard to say, like, there doesn't need to be a competition. I think Nintendo's always had the handheld market pretty wrapped up and ready to go. And now they're doing these crazy hybrids where they, you know, they'll do a little bit of both.
Yep, sorry, keep chatting.
As for it being dead, personally for me, not a big deal either way. It's a bummer that some of the games that were designed for portable play...
Paul has been chatting to us this whole time, but for some reason, it's not coming through on that chat window, so we will go in here. You keep chatting, and I'll respond to all of Paul's comments.
So it's a shame to see all those things go, because a lot of those games were obviously, you know, quite good. Hopefully those developers can find a home on the home consoles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thankfully, yeah. It's this weird place, the Vita. It's all well good. But let's jump in the chat with Paul. Paul says, sup, and yells about Tools Up. He says, moving out is the shit. And he goes, the Paul and Betson team in moving out were number one. Final date coming in state of play, no doubt, which is, like, I'm not quite sure that was right. Oh, for Dreams. So he presumes that Dreams will be announced officially in the state of play. Makes sense. But PS4 did go first overall in terms of the consoles. That was only E3. Xbox had a chance to react and shit the bed. And then he goes, vintage James, when James broke into the studio, as he does. Because that's my child. He just breaks into shit. So sorry, Paul, for not chatting to you earlier. For some reason, it didn't come through the little chatbot window thingy that I have. So we'll use that instead.
Classic technology.
Next up was a bit of Spoods 2. Now, I won't go into... I did pull a bit in here, but we'll just kind of run through it as quickly. So, recently, the latest member of Kinda Funny Games cast, Khan something something. Whose name? Where's his name gone?
Imran Khan.
Imran Khan, that's the one. You will be fucking sorry, says Paul. Imran Khan jumps out on the latest Gamescast, says, I know too much about Marvel Spider-Man 2, so I can't speculate too much. And then sort of goes on to talk about how it is in the works, it's not far away, and sooner than we think, was the exact quote.
Interesting.
Mm.
Do you think it's too soon?
No.
You don't reckon it's too
soon? Hell no. Chuck, when you said it won't be PS4, I can promise you that. PS5 makes sense. So it's obviously not coming out next year, if it comes out the year after. So that would put it within
3 years?
3 years of the last one, I guess, which that's not too bad, I'm actually very happy with. So yeah, I'm happy with more Spoods. I still haven't gone back to the DLC yet, but it is there, ready to go, because I haven't installed it. I'm trying... Can those DLC counts as credits towards my end of the year?
If they do, I've got 3 extra credits this year.
All right. Padge, as someone not in the credit race, do they count as individual credits? Paul says, I've been saying launch for ages. I wouldn't rule that out. So he's not ruling out a launch for PS5.
That'd be a banger to launch.
Holy fuck, would that be a massive,
That'd sell you some consoles.
Well, yeah, because they would have done it anyway, because people were hard on Spoods. But then on top of that, you add that now it's 100% exclusive, because Insomniac are 100% exclusive. Like, it was before, it was, like, we knew it was exclusive, but it was a little gray area. Launch is one of Spidey or Horizon 2, says Padge.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'd probably say it's Horizon, but it would still be cool. Also, they don't count as credits. Fuck. All right, well, I'm not playing them this year then. They can wait. What am I on, like 15, 16? 16.
Yeah, I'm on 12.
I need to get my last one. I want to try cap out at 20, and I've got 3 weeks to get 20. Fuck. This one's quite wordy, but I think it's interesting to discuss. One of Sony's greatest innovations with the PS4 is the share button, allowing players to quickly grab screenshots of video clips from games they're currently playing and post them all to see. Yet another patent dug up by Respawn First just sharing that this type of content isn't going anywhere on PS5. Not only that, but it sounds like it could be significantly built upon. The patent application is for something called scene tagging, and it seems this could make user-generated videos and images much more interesting. The description of this technology is pretty wordy, but we'll do. I'll try to condense it down for you. So scene tagging will make it so that each gameplay clip shared by the PS5 users will generate metadata, which will house information such as what game it's from, where in the game it takes place, what items are used, what characters are present, etc. The purpose of this is that the PS5 players will be able to search for certain part of a game and then select a relevant clip. Perhaps most interestingly in that viewing said storage, quote, includes recreating and the recorded event so that the user can participate within the same event on the user computing device, end quote. In a nutshell, this sounds like you'll be able to search for a part in the game that you want help with, and shared footage from other players will be able to reproduce the scene in your game. This sounds kind of mad, but could potentially tie into another patent that's been making the rumbles, is that the PS5 will come complete with an onboard AI helper called PlayStation Assist. So, could Sony be setting up a way for people to help each other with the share button and make those gameplay clips searchable and interactive with this AI assistant? Once again, it is important to take into place that this is just a patent, and patents don't always deliver anything. So what I read this as is because right now you can upload all your clips to YouTube or whatever.
Yep.
And YouTube walkthroughs are more prevalent than ever. And I think Sony, their approach here is, well, why leave to watch that when you can do it here without moving? And this allows you to search for specific sections of specific games at specific times.
See, the beauty of being able to search for specific points like you just brought up, you're not spoiling yourself for anything else,
because
there's nothing worse than going to, like you suggested, a walkthrough on YouTube, and you know some of them are quite lengthy, and then you've got to scroll through to find the exact point that you're at, and you're like, oh, I've gone too far now, I know what happens, and you ruin it for yourself. So being able to go to that specific point in time would be fantastic. I mean, granted, that's what I use SharePlay for currently. If any of my friends are having a difficulty, I'm like, hey, just chuck on SharePlay, man, and I'll just join your...
You go in there and do it for them.
Just go on there and I'll be like, hey, man, this is... You've just got to turn around and look over there. You're just missing this one thing.
I like the idea in premise, in delivery, I'm not sure, because it's like they are trying to create a competitor to YouTube.
Yeah.
That's difficult because YouTube is huge. And... What this is where it's going to get cynical for a second. What is the incentive to do it? On YouTube, the incentive is to make the video, therefore you get hits, views, likes, whatever, and then you can get paid.
Yeah.
What is the incentive to do it on PS5?
Well, it depends on if you can still upload that to YouTube.
Correct.
Like, if you can still upload it, there's nothing wrong with you doing it. It's just... It gives the other users the opportunity to search for something specific that they're looking for, as opposed to maybe spending a little bit more time and effort trying to find that certain point without spoiling themselves, I guess.
Yeah, it's probably true.
But like you brought up, you know, it's just a patent, doesn't mean.
But it is a relatively unique way to look at it, especially when it keeps you in the same space.
Yeah,
because a lot of the time it's pausing, pulling up my phone, because I never use YouTube on the actual console because it's near fucking horrible to use. And that's my one thing. It's horrible to type on that fucking keyboard. It is horrible to search and use word like in type on consoles.
It's interesting. I'm gonna go slightly off on a tangent here. It's interesting. It would be interesting to see how long ago that patent was filed, because it sounds similar to something that Stadia was touting when they was announcing it, of you push the button and it'll open your YouTube feed and you'll be able to get walkthroughs and guides as you're playing the game, because it's all built in.
Okay.
So it's interesting to see if it's something like that, where as opposed to having to go to a different device and maybe open a different application and go there, you can just hit that button, it brings up your the PlayStation Assistant or whatever they're going to call it, and it's like, hey, do you need help? Go here. Do you need this? Go here.
Yeah.
Do you need that?
Sweet. Yeah, actually, that's a good idea. Well, because with a pattern is a securing an intellectual like property.
It's
something that is unique. So anyone has anything similar, you can be like, hey, I got the pattern here. How you doing? So I think the variable there is they're using a platform that already exists by YouTube. So I think it's potential that Stadia have seen this, or Google have seen this, or publishers have seen this. That's a cool idea. Let's manipulate it and bring it, keep it in house.
Yeah,
that could be a way to go about it. Next up is the quick bits. So we got a handful here. Remedy are happy with Control sales numbers regardless of the limited chart appearances, because that was your number one game of the year. Still is.
As it stands right now. No, not anymore.
Oh, sick burn.
Death Stranding has overtaken that.
Sick burn on Control. Console versions of Gwent will no longer be supported come 9th of December 2019.
Saw that.
So like 2 days from now, no love for Gwent.
On console.
On console.
I think it's still going pretty strong on
PC. Yeah, people love it on so the press release pretty much reads as everyone loves it on PC, everyone loves it on phones, it's just not getting numbers on consoles, period. Plague Tale 2 is rumored to be already in development with a 2022 release. Because I think you played it. I'm fantastic. Really intrigued in it. I'm scared of it still. Sony are currently sending out an awesome little Chrissy themed called Happy Holidays Theme 2019. So you check your inboxes, they would have sent you a little code. Did you get one?
I don't know, I haven't checked my emails.
Cool, because I haven't and I want it. For some reason, I have the box ticked and I'm like, hey, yeah, send me these cool little promo thingies and whatever. Nothing. I get nada. Makes me mad. PlayStation wins the Guinness World Record for the best-selling home video game console brand with over 450 million units sold. Well done. Untitled Goose Game could be coming to PS4 very, very soon a trophy list that's gone live.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So keep an eye out on Game Awards, I'm saying. And the Call of Duty Battle Pass thing is apparently grindy as hell. And what did you expect?
Yeah. Aren't they all?
That's the whole point of the Battle Pass, you things. It's grind your ass through to something. Morons. Everyone's complaining on the internet. But that brings us to our main topic. So we'll have a chat to the players about the upcoming state of play. Now, if I jump over here and I click over here and we go to the PlayStation blog where they put up a post.
State of play for the goose.
We're checking up. So they have confirmed there will be a state of play airing Tuesday, December 10, that 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. So Wednesday at some point for us, 3 a.m. or something stupid. So I'll wake up to it. It will be streamed on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. There will be around 20 minutes of game reveals, release date announcements, new gameplay footage, PlayStation Worldwide Studios updates, and more. And it probably bears repeating, don't expect any updates related to our next-gen plans. 1 a.m. Wednesday, says Patch. So, Max, what will we see on the state of play?
Hopefully Ghost of Tsushima.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully. I'd love to see more of that. We'll probably get a few VR stuff, maybe a couple of indies.
Well, impressively, they haven't speculated the amount. It's just 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So they have in the past, they have done those little like sort of scissor reel, like bang, 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 bang things. So it wouldn't surprise me if there is like maybe a VR package, maybe a bit more about Iron Man VR is pretty much done and dust at this point. Like it's not out yet, but like there's not much more they can add. I think Ghost of Tsushima or Sushi, I can't say it, so I'm going to sound racist, Ghost of Sushi. I presume like that would be in there, but what is that release date? I still think June, because they've been working on the idea of like 3 months ahead.
Yeah, I think
so. Next year we'll hear more about
it. I think Paul's right. I think we'll get a definitive Dreams.
Yeah, we'll hear it here. Yeah, pretty much out in the wild anyway, so might as well. Goose makes sense, especially with the trophy list going live. If anything, it may be and it's live now, which is massive for House House. Melbourne Dev, congratulations, House House, if that does happen.
Do you reckon...
Just in general, really.
Do you reckon we'll get word on the remaster that...
Bluepoint
are working on? Or do you reckon that's a Game Awards thing?
Every time we hear about what, like every time I just had a play, it's like, is Bluepoint doing something? And they never do shit. So it's possible. I wouldn't say, if it's huge, If it's something like Demon Souls, I imagine we would see that at the Game Awards, because that would make everyone blow their pants. Where, I don't know. Because like the other thing is like, could it be the... I think Resident Evil is going to be the big game here. Resident Evil will be the big selling game of this little 20-minute thingamathing. But like Blue Point, putting that on at Game Awards, like, here's the remake of Demon Souls coming only to PlayStation. Everyone's like, ah! And they instantly win the night. Right? There's enough there's enough fans around Demon Souls that will win, period. then, like the other thing is like, are we going to see this new Arkham game? That seems like a Game Awards thing.
Yeah, see, that seems like a Game Awards thing. What about that Western Rockstar are working on? That's
That would be so pre-production, man. Like, I heard those. I did almost pull them in last week. But it's like, nah, that'd be way too pre-production.
What about the George R. Martin game that was teased at E3?
What's that called? Elden Ring. Yeah. Whatever. Nah. Nope. That's early days.
Yeah.
Because
there's not many other first-party Sony games that.
Well, there's not
for this the last end of this generation.
Yeah.
We got Last of Us, which has a release date already.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just that Ghost of Tsushima, right?
Yeah, so it'll be Ghosts. Ghosts is pretty much the next big one. With no mention of PS5 or any next-gen stuff, it instantly removes any speculative titles like Horizon 2, Spood, stuff like that. They're just not coming. So Ghosts is presumably the last big one. Now, when they talk about Sony Worldwide Studio updates, I imagine that will come off the back of Herman Holst now being... You know, the new head of Worldwide Studios, probably a video package from him just being like, hey, you know, I know you all love Shu, love me. Shu's off doing cool stuff. Speaking of Shu, here's Shu with his first indie highlight reel. And it's in he highlighting a bunch of indies. And that will be House. Yeah. It'll be like, indie cool. Bam, here's Goose Game. And then everyone would just like jerk Shu's dick again. It'll be great. Yeah, because with this Harry Potter game, is that still a thing? Like, I'm going to bring that up until I fucking see it. Give me Harry Potter. But, like, yeah, primarily it'll be update, Resi, and probably some third-party shit.
Yeah.
Because as it stands right now, we're pretty quiet from here until Feb. There's not much happening. Everyone's winding down to get ready to ramp up for PS5, or the next generation, I should say. There's not a lot to announce here. If anything, they might then be like, Shu's day's got like Shu's head. And it's just like, yeah, gnarly. If anything, it might be like, I don't know they're going to talk about it, but look, we'll have more for you about next generation come the next day to play, which will be in February. There might be something like that to tease over that quiet time.
Yeah. They've obviously, it's not a bad time to come out and say something, but what that something is going to be is quite hard to tell.
What the thing with State of Plays, and we're doing it right now, is speculation should be kept low. We are adding so much more to this than there needs to be, because 9 out of 10 times State of Plays have been very quiet, they've been very chill, and they've been mildly underwhelming.
Yeah, because what was the last State of Play? They showed off a couple of games that we hadn't heard of. They did...
Arise, a simple story was on it.
Yeah.
We saw that really cool...
Voxel game.
That Voxel game. The Last of Us was the big thing.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do... Do you reckon... I don't think they'll do any more Last of Us 2.
No, stuff. Last of Us, Last of Us is quiet until release.
Now that they've got a date and whatnot.
I think it's pretty much like locked down.
Yeah, Last of Us was last time.
Yeah. Cool. Cause it's with a weird line of like, when was that? How far away was that?
So yeah, Ghost is the last of the first parties
that we're aware of. Presumably everybody else is pretty tight. Well, and Dreams, technically.
Yeah, true.
Technically, no one fucking cares, but technically.
I mean,
unless Studio Japan are gonna come out with something rad that we don't know about, they're like, hey, here's something we've been working on. Bam, here you go.
Yeah.
But in terms of big fuck off, get excited. It's Ghosts. That's about it. But let us know what you think's making its way to the State of Play. And a very quick main topic there, mostly because it's speculative and we kind of kicked so much bum in the news. And there's not much happening. Like, no, in terms of main topic conversation stuff, there's not a lot. So we just kind of like filled the void with games that we've been playing, some news, and quick things. Because the problem that I find is every time we speculate about the state of play, we're wrong all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell what they're actually going to do, so...
Yeah. But anyway, let's wrap up the show as we always do with the drop. We tell you what games are coming this week in a section we call Coming to the Players. These are all the games dropping on December 10, 2019. As always, this is a list from the Americas. It may not match up entirely with what we have here in Australia. Ashen, PS4 Digital, out on the 12th. This sounds very familiar for some reason.
It's rad.
Ashen is an open world co-op action RPG about a wanderer in search of a place to call home. As you adventure through Ashen, you occasionally encounter other players in a massive open world. It's up to you to decide how to deal with them, fight together against evil, invite them into your party, or simply ignore them. You played
it? Yep, it's really cool.
What you play on PC?
It's what, Xbox? On Games Pass.
Yeah. No, Xbox, no! it's really cool?
It's really good, yeah. It's super difficult. It's got some cool platforming. Fighting's tight. It's worth a check out.
Oh, yeah. It's got my interest. Avicii Invector. RIP. Black Sad Under the Skin. Peaceful Digital Retail. So this is the game where you play as like some sort of cat detective. This was originally up on the store and then pulled down very quickly due to some game-breaking problems. But it looks like it's been fixed and it's up now. Cardpocalypse, PS4 Digital, out on the 12th. Dead End Job, PS4 Digital, out on the 13th. eFootball PES 2020 Lite.
What? What makes it light?
I don't know. Out on the 9th. It does not say.
It does not say.
Aetherium X, PS4 Dig. Fishing Barents Sea Complete Edition, PS4 Digital. Hey, bummed out if you bought the not complete edition. Fuji, FUJII, PSVR Digital. Gunlord X, PS4 Dig. Headliner Novinews, lame. Quaden, PS4 Digital, out on the 13th. Oliver's Adventures in the Fairyland, PS4 Digital, out on the 11th. Rift Keeper, PS4 Dig. Shuttle Commander, PS4 Digital, out on the 11th. No, thank you. I will vom and have a panic attack. Super Epic, The Entertainment War, PS4 Digital, out on the 12th. Super Korotama, PS4 Digital, out on the 13th. Touring Carts, PS4, PSVR, Digital, out on the 12th. Ashen, I guess.
Yeah, not much. Coming up to that end of the year.
Yeah, we are in that dead window. We discussed it before. Still dead. Dead window, still dead.
Dead window, still dead.
Beautiful. Oh, I'm pressing the wrong buttons on that one. All right, done. Excellent. Thank you once again, Max, for joining us. We are next week. We get to talk Game of the Year, Game of the Gen. So keep an eye on our social medias because I will be posting the criteria that we will be using to pick our games of the year. There, as far as I can recall, there will be four categories: Game of the Year, the best game that you played this year that didn't come out this year. Mm-hmm. So in case you played a game that dropped in like a previous year, most disappointing game of the year, and there's another one which I forget what it was. I don't know what the other one was. We ended up picking like three. It's only like three or four categories. And then we'll have Game of Le Generation as well. We have a lot. Should be fun. I'll post that probably ideally Monday. So you guys will have a whole week to speculate and think and drop those in for us. And then we'll have a big old chat. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to put the stream out there to everybody that wants it. If you're around on Sunday, you can watch us do the show. You can join in on it. It'll be fun. We'll have an open chat. It should be a ton of fun. But this PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to join that conversation, head over to facebook.com/thepopculturist. Twitter, Discord links are in the description below. If you want to support us in if you want to join the conversation as it happens live, head over to patreon.com/thepopculturist. Support us at any dollar value. Get yourself a nice little sneaky link where you can watch us record this show live, as I said. Ugh. If you want to support us in more one-off fashion, head over to popculturist.com/shop where you can buy shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it. The store is pretty much on sale from now until the end of the year. Go buy some low-end merch for some low-end family. It's a solid investment of your dollary dues. And we are also on Twitch at twitch.tv/thepopculturist where I will be playing Tools Up because I did agree to do that as part of the review. So I'm going to do it myself. I don't know. We'll work it out. Might get my wife in. Probably won't. Probably just be me getting mad. Anyway, Max, if you're free, I might reach out. You in?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah!
Max I don't think I have any plans.
Max is just having a baby. It's all good. He's getting as much time out as he can before the baby comes in. Because once you have a baby, you never get to leave the house.
Yeah.
Ever.
So I've been told.
You just get kind of locked in. But anyways, until next week, I am Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Yeah.
I think that's the shortest episode we've done together.
Like a fucking hour and 10 minutes. For the Players, the Pop Culturist PlayStation podcast is fan-supported at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And we'd like to thank our Patreon producers and our Patreon founders for their kindness, their support, and their generosity. Our Patreon founders, Alpha Ferret, Craig O'Flaherty, David Chataway, Jesse Stevenson, and Jacob Garner. And our Patreon producers, AJ Abatomi, Damien Holdies, Kyle Dunn, Lee Winterchauvin, Nathan Massetti, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, and Sean Levitt.